Earners, what's up? Look, in the world of personal finance management, finding the right tool is crucial. If you've been relying on Mint to keep your personal finances in check, I got a mix of news for you. Mint is closing down. But here's a silver lining. Monarch Money is stepping up as the go-to financial app, and users, including myself, are making the switch with a smile. Before Monarch, juggling my finances felt like navigating a stormy sea. Other apps either lacked features or were too cumbersome. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design turned financial management from a chore into a breeze. The constant updates, well, that's the cherry on top. But what truly set it apart for me was its collaboration feature. Money matters can strain relationships, but Monarch brings peace to the table. The app's collaboration tools allow my partner and I to seamlessly manage our finances together. We aligned on our budgets, tracked our cash flow, and even planned our future goals all in one place. Speaking of goals, be it saving for a down payment, your dream vacation, or your children's education, Monarch simplifies it all. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal hailed it as the best budgeting app. This isn't just an app. It's the next generation of personal finance management, ad-free, intuitive, and always evolving with you in mind. Now look, Monarch isn't just another app. It's the all-in-one solution, from effortlessly importing your data from Mint to customizing your dashboard to your heart's content. Monarch respects your privacy with a strict no ads, no data selling policy. This is financial management as it should be, focused on you. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Mondays. That's monarchmoney.com/Mondays for your extended 30-day free trial.
Well, let me ask another question, because it's like what goes up must come down. So
yeah,
being at the stock market is at an all-time high. Are we setting up for a major pullback or correction either in the summertime or fall?
Yeah, I think in the summertime we'll have a pullback. Even though things are at a record high right now, June and August are usually rough months. And I don't know how much longer we can just have NVIDIA pull the entire market up. Or the promise of AI. Like, we pretty much have a cartel between Meta, NVIDIA, AMD, Microsoft, Google, and Apple. I don't know how much longer they can drag the entire market up. And if it wasn't for NVIDIA and AMD pulling the market, and SMCI, it probably would be flat.
You left Amazon out of there.
Oh, Amazon. True. Yeah. 2.5 invested in Anthropic. Job well done. Need it. But I do think we will see a pullback. Lilly would be great, of course. I think most of the healthcare companies would be great, but the numbers aren't as strong as they should be. We've talked about the geopolitical risk and concerns before, but the numbers just aren't as strong, and CEOs are getting quieter. The only ones that are like out publicly facing are the ones that are just dominating the market, like Jensen. Jensen looks like a rock star when he had his conference. Mm-hmm. Most CEOs have been a lot more quiet, I think, and then revamping their business models to prepare for what's to come. So I think we'll have a pullback July and August, and then we'll be back to the races towards the end of the year.
But that's not atypical, right? Like we've seen that over, especially, I mean, I like to use these past 4 years of Market Mondays as a microcosm of how the market works. Like, we've seen this. We talked about the summer slowdown. And yeah, there was an outlier in 2020. Obviously, there's the pandemic, but we've seen that historically. If you look at the summer months, the volume is down. There's going to be a pullback. We've seen it in the beginning of September. Like, we've seen these things. And so they shouldn't be unfamiliar, right? Prepare for it, right? Like, if you were on a sideline, if you weren't participating, well, why weren't you? Was it because you were waiting for this pullback? And now it's, all right, I know September is coming. Historically, we've seen that as a month that the S&P has pulled back, NASDAQ has pulled back, all the major indices have had a slight pullback over the past 4 years. This would be the time to enter. So, yeah, I mean, a pullback will come. Just how much of a percentage, that'll be the key indicator. But, yeah, this AI train is... I think we're still in the beginning of it.
I agree. The only thing that I won't say worried about, but I think one variable that's different is the lack of quantitative easing. So even with Bank of Japan finally coming off of break even interest, and they spiked it just a tad bit, I wonder how that's going to affect their market and the Nikkei. And if we don't have easing anytime soon, I wonder, will the pullback be a little bit sharper? And will the companies that are just like floundering around not do as well? So we'll talk about Tesla soon, but even like companies like Zillow that had a bunch of promise, they really haven't moved. Spotify hasn't moved that much either. Mm-hmm. Disney. I mean, I'm hoping it can break above 127 for you. I really
do. Every week we're starting to see this number move up.
So, but be on the lookout. If the market pulls back 10 to 15%, of course, every week we'll be here. If I see some numbers I like, I'll be sure to call them out. But the companies that benefited greatly from a lower interest rate environment or more money being available to consumers, it's a tighter squeeze. Credit card debt is still at a record high. Mm-hmm. And people are not paying off those balances as quickly as they used to either. So we definitely have to factor that in.
It's true. So, okay. Let's talk about this then. What are some common mistakes that traders make in these type of markets?
So in a market when we're in like now, when the market has just been going up and on fire, I think not preparing for when you need to start to short. Because a lot of times traders will say, well, I'm a bull investor or bull trader, or I'm a bear. And it's like, well, you have to go whatever the conditions of the markets are. So don't get caught if the market has a downturn in June or July and think that your strategy for going long when you're trading doesn't work. So number one, you have to be able to flow with the market. Number two, if the volume drops in the summer, you're going to have to adjust your targets. So if you've been killing on options and getting 100%, you may have to cut that down to 50. If you've been going for, like, let's say 40 ticks on ES, you may have to adjust and go to 20 in the summertime, and then in the fall, adjust back to a longer target. And then third, understand when the volume is lighter, there's different players in the market. So like at the open and close, there are different players that are trading. But in the first quarter and fourth quarter, sometimes the mix of traders are not there. And a second and third. And lastly, I would say if you are not doing that well at the open, to trade the close. That way you can see what happened the first 5 or 6 hours of the day. You have a clear direction for where the asset is going. And then at the close, you're going to see the most volume in the last 10 minutes. Look to take your trade in those last 10 and you'll be okay. But if you're not doing well at the open, getting 3x return, profit factor of 3 or above, I would trade the close from now until probably September to get an edge in the market.
So trading the close is an interesting strategy. So a lot of people, and they get confused. They'll say, well, obviously the market closes at 4. At what point do I wait to it's 3:30 and it's like there's a half hour left, or is it 3:40? So you're saying
I'll start looking at 3.
You start looking at 3, but do you make the move until that last 10 minutes? Because especially if you're trading options and you have to wait for that to even be filled. Sometimes if you try to put that in at 3:45 pause, if you try to have an option filled at 3:57, it might not get filled, and then you miss out. You got to wait till 9:30 the next day. So what's that time frame that you like in futures? And I guess it could be transferable for options as well.
Yeah. The last 15 minutes is what I like. If it doesn't get filled, it doesn't get filled. If the move isn't there, you can't force it. But because in futures, like, you can get whipped out so fast or go negative. You have to wait for the right move, but normally the volume kicks in the last 10 minutes. Now, if you get the trade right, you'll hit your target really fast. If you get in at a bad price, it could be disastrous. So you need to practice. But those last 15 minutes is when I'll be looking to fire for sure.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. And I want everybody, I'm going to look into the camera, right? It's okay if it doesn't get filled. Like if that, it's okay.
It happens.
People get really frustrated and they're like, all right, well, I know I put my limit at this number. Whether it's $9, right? And the limit now that the ask is 905 or it's 950. You don't have to go up to that number.
Nope.
It's okay.
Don't do it.
It's okay. Be disciplined in what your plan was, right? So if it doesn't get filled, that's fine. You come back tomorrow. Rather than taking a losing trade, you buy it and obviously it depreciates once you get it. So it's okay if the option contract does not get filled. Come back another day.